3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeout for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Wow. That was spectacular as the Mariners win last night. Thanks for being back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast, at Mariners Pod. Thanks for being here as we get a fun one to talk about. The Mariners, of course, great road trip, taking 2 of 3 in 3 different cities, coming back, trying to bring the momentum home, and they played a fantastic ball game. This one is thick. We have a lot to talk about. Taijuan Walker, of course, number one at the very top of the list. He was unbelievable. His start is incredible to this season. So we'll talk a lot about Taijuan Walker. We have great sound coming from the clubhouse after the ball game as the Mariners beat the Astros 3-2. Some great thoughts on Taijuan Walker from his teammates as well. Chris Sionetta after the game was fantastic. So that sound is coming your way as we break this one down. I hope you like strikeout highlights because there's a few coming your way. The number 100 also played a big factor. Kyle Seager swatted home run number 100 in his career, special home run. And Steve Cishek, who got the save, closed out his 100th save of his career. Also, Kyle Seager turned in a fantastic defensive play. And that is becoming more and more part of the Mariners. Not only making the plays, the routine plays, the consistent plays, but they're turning in some spectacular defensive plays the last handful of ball games. And the Seager play was right up there. So we'll hear that highlight as well. Also coming up on the podcast, I hope we have time for everything. There's so much. We're going to have a great conversation between Shannon Dreher and Steve Cishek. Great insight. So that comes up, a nice long conversation. And also Chris Iannetta and what he likes to do off the field. Josh Kearns, another Josh Kearns special. So great podcast coming. I'm glad you're with us. And tomorrow, I'm going to read some of the tweets and emails I got yesterday, which was so great because I asked the question, you know, where you're listening to the podcast, and the responses flooded in from all over the world. So I'm going to read some of those tomorrow. I'll get to as many as I can. So feel free to send me more if you haven't yet. At Gary Hill Jr. on Twitter, you can email me, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. But you're listening to the podcast all over the world, and it just blows me away. So we'll get to those tomorrow. But first things first, Mariners and the Astros going at it, game 1 of a 3-game series. And the Astros took the lead in the second inning. Gomez with a single, scoring White to give the Astros a 1-0 lead. But then in the third inning, the Mariners would strike back with a deep home run.
Dug into his windup and a pitch, swung on, driven deep to right. Stay fair. It's going, and it is gone. Leonis Martin with a home run. Ties the score at 1-1. And he's homered in New York. And that's home run number 4, RBI number 9. And a tie ball game at 1-1.
That thing was absolutely crushed. I thought it was going to hit a here cafe. It was just mashed. Solo blast there to tie the score. And then Mariners playing long ball again. This time, Kyle Seager, number 100 in his career.
The 3-1 pitch swung on, well, hit ball. Deep right center field. Springer to the one, he tracked to the wall. There's number 100. Goodbye, baseball. Kyle Seager. Holy smokes, with his 4th home run of the season. His 2nd in as many games. And it gives the Mariners a 2-1 lead here in the bottom of the 4th.
It's not a long list of Mariners that have reached 100. Griffey, of course, 417 as a Mariner. Edgar, 309. Jay Buhner, 307. Alex Rodriguez, 189. AD Alvin Davis, 160. Raul Abanez, 156. Brett Boone, 143. Jim Presley, 115. Richie Sexson, Ken Phelps, 105. Adrian Beltre, 103. And then Kyle Seager, 100. 12th most in Mariners history. Ichiro ended up with 99, one behind Seager. Impressive. Number 100, and it gives the Mariners the lead. And the M's, after scoring in back-to-back innings, they'd make it three in a row thanks to Robinson Cano, who would drive in a big run.
Pitch to Cano, swinging a line drive into center field for a base hit. Marte, Ronnie, third, heading home. Up with the ball is Gomez. The throw to the plate, way up the third base line. Catcher Kratz has to go get it. Marte scores, RBI single for Robbie Cano. Down to second goes Smith. It's now the Mariners 3 and the Astros 1. And career RBI number 998 for Robbie Cano and counting.
Mariners only 4 hits in the ballgame, but they made the most of them, plating 3. Although they did draw 7 walks, a career high for Doug Fister, who's really a control freak to the extreme. And he walked 7 in the game. Another game, though, where the Mariners continued to grind out at-bats, and they had plenty of good ones in the ballgame. 7 walks they draw. They score 3 times, but really the story of this one was Taijuan Walker, who was unbelievable, especially as the game wore on.
The 2-2 pitch, swing and a miss, and a changeup for strike 3. He strikes out George Springer, needed the strikeout with 2 on in scoring position, and now there's 2 outs. And that is strikeout number 5 for Taijuan Walker, and a big one here in the top half of the 5th.
And he really started to rack up the Ks the last 2 innings.
Line and a delivery, swung on and missed, tagged by Iannetta to complete the strikeout as Taijuan Walker in the 6th strikes out the side. 1-2 pitch coming here to Luis Valbuena. The pitch, swung on and missed. He pulled the string on him at 77 miles an hour. That's strikeout number 10 for Taijuan Walker. And he struck out the last 5 men that he's faced in 6 of the last 7. The 1-2 pitch to Kratz. Strike 3 called. He got him. Strikes out the side for the 2nd consecutive inning. He's rung up 6 consecutive strikeouts, 7 of the last 8 he's faced. Wow.
6 Ks in a row for Walker to end his start. 7 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, and 11 strikeouts. Unbelievable. I mean, what a way to end. And he nearly got Mark Langston's club record of 7 straight strikeouts. He pulled that off in 1984, but Walker ends his start with 6 straight Ks. Although we can't talk about Walker's start without some defense behind him. Kyle Seager turned in an amazing play in the 5th inning to save a run.
The 2-2, swing and a ground ball down the third baseline. Fair, backhanded by Seager. On a hop to throw to first, and it's in time to get Carlos Correa. Holy smokes, what a play by Kyle Seager behind the bag at third. The backhanded stop. His momentum took him across the line. Off balance, a one-hop throw on the money to Adam Lynn. In time to Rob Correa to save 2 runs.
It was great. It was a great play. He was in foul territory. Correa can really fly, and he hopped it there, got it right on the money. Long throw, great play. I mean, he had to stop all his momentum, stop fire, and he got him. Unbelievable, helping the cause. And then to the 9th inning we go. Steve Cishek is on after the Astros cut the lead to 1. So he didn't have a lot of room to play with, but got some help from Chris Iannetta.
Cishek ready, runner goes, pitch on the way, a ball thrown out to 2nd by Iannetta, in time to get Gomez. Holy smokes, what a throw by Chris Iannetta. He nails Gomez trying to steal. He's out at 2nd, and there's 2 outs for the Astros here in the top of the 9th inning.
Cishek, a couple of hits, he'd walk one, but didn't allow a run, and that's what matters. Closed down his 5th save as a Mariner, save number 100 in his career, and the Mariners win 3-2 over the Astros. They take game 1 of this series. The Mariners move above 500, now 10-9 on the season. And I know April standings, but You look at him, you see the Mariners at the top. Kyle Seager's going to talk about that in a second. I think you like what he has to say, but that's never a bad thing, no matter what time of year it is, as the Mariners on top of the division, on top of the AL West with the win over the Houston Astros. A very impressive win in so many ways. I have a lot of Taijuan Walker items to get to that I'm really impressed with. But first, let's hear about his start. Let's hear from his catcher, Chris Iannetta, talking about Taijuan Walker.
Taijuan pitched great. You know, he took a big step forward in what he's capable of doing. He just kept getting stronger as the game went on. I think the last pitch was 7. He was great.
You're catching him and you see that. I mean, that's got to be a little bit different.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you want him to continually get better throughout the course of the game. You know, he's implementing that slider. The slider is a pitch that's he's still developing, but it's getting a lot better really fast, which is surprising. He threw some today that were really good. And if he keeps doing that, you can just tell the spin and the shape, how far it's coming along. It looks good.
So they're actual sliders. I know the slider's been the cutter, kind of.
Yeah, you know, it's still in between a slider and a cutter. It's just one of those things that takes time. You know, in 2010, when the Rockies, Ubaldo Jimenez learned it, it took him 3-4 months to really get comfortable, and sometimes even a year before it was really a dominant pitch. But Taijuan seems to be a little ahead of the curve, so he's been good.
That says something if you can take it into a game. Hey, we also saw a lot of the fastball. Good fastball today. You know the Astros can hit it, so that must have been an excellent fastball.
Yeah, he does. He has an exceptional one. He has the ability to pitch at the top of the zone with a four-seam fastball better than anyone in the game. He's so big. It looks like he's just placing the ball in my mid, especially when you're hitting. I unfortunately had a hit against him, and it was tough. You know, he throws that curveball. He throws that really good changeup, split, whatever you want to call it. And now implementing that slider, it's going to be good. The key is going to be if you can throw strikes. If he continues to throw strikes the way he does and command the zone, he's going to be special.
He told me after the start against Texas here that you really fired him up in that last inning that he had, and that was something he took into the next start. What do you see from him on the hill in that regard?
Yeah, I think about the second or third inning, he kind of got his energy level went up a couple notches. He might have been at a 6. I think he went to about a 12. So I think we got to try to find a way to keep him pitching like that. Maybe put some red hot in some certain places on his body and keep him going.
Whatever it takes. Hey, you erased a big run out there in the ninth inning.
That was fun. You know, C-Shack gave me a chance to throw him out, and I was able to get a good exchange off and made a good throw. So I was thankful to get him.
I thought that was a really good breakdown on Walker from Iannetta. And he was talking about his fastball and looking at Brooks Baseball right after the game. Fastball was crazy. His velo averaged 96.3 miles per hour. Average maxed out at 98.5. I mean, that is bringing it. He's throwing 97 his last inning of work, over 100 pitches. That's crazy. He got 12 swings and misses on the fastball. That's a great rate. That is a great rate. Man, it's just startling to look at. His stuff is filthy, and he is harnessing it, and that's scary for the American League. And we're going to talk more about how significant his start is in just a second. But let's hear from Kyle Seager. He hit homer number 100. He'll talk about Walker as well. And how about where the Mariners are at in terms of standings?
Yeah, 100 homers, nice round number. What do you have thoughts?
It's definitely a milestone. And I'm, you know, very proud of that, and you know, I'm glad I came in a win.
How impressive was it to you from your vantage point, seeing what Taijuan was able to do, especially there late?
That was about as dominant as, you know, as I've seen him or really, you know, anybody. That was really pretty special for me. The, you know, just the way the ball was coming out of his hand. You know, all the pitches, you know, I mean, he was dominant. He was throwing everything with conviction, and, you know, he was just an absolute bulldog and, you know, pretty much willed us to victory there. I mean, we had, you know, 4 hits, and he took it in his own hands, so that was pretty incredible.
Hey, I know it's early, but taking over first place, any significance or anything like that?
I mean, that's where you want to be, you know, early or late, you know, so it's definitely, we've been playing better baseball, you know, as of late. And, you know, we had a good road trip, and it's nice to get the homestand off on a win.
Now let's hear from the skipper, get his thoughts on Taijuan Walker.
What can you say? I mean, awesome outing. He's really, he's finding his stride. He's kind of coming into his own, the type of pitcher he can be, and it is some kind of fun to watch. Really took over the game the last couple innings he was out there.
You see a guy just strike out.
seven in those. He really wasn't losing anything. He was going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, you know, we've really seen he has the ability to turn the dial up. You know, later in games, there's plenty in the tank. I think his adrenaline gets flowing. He gets a little emotional, and he gets after it. I think a lot of them, and I think we're watching somebody kind of, like I said, take the next step.
Take the next step. It sure looks like it. He was sensational. And here is Taiwan Walker on his start.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I face these guys a lot. And, you know, me and I sat down before the game and kind of had a good game plan and stuck with it the whole time. And it was a lot of fun. You know, the offense scored runs and defense was really, really good behind us. So it was good.
Did you have to, I mean, you were rolling so much the seventh inning. Did you have to think your way through some of that? Those were not easy outs.
Yeah, I mean, Valbuena, he battled a lot. And, you know, we just kept being aggressive and going right after them. And, you know, it definitely worked out.
You talk about the runs. How about the defense behind you, especially Seager?
Oh, man, it was that play right there was huge in the second inning. You know, got to it, quick release, and one hopper over there. And, you know, I think that was a big turning point after that. You know, I got comfortable and kind of just settled in.
Taiwan, what can you say? I mean, the last two innings, six strikeouts, 96, 97, you looked like you were getting stronger there. Was that?
Yeah, I mean, I felt good, and, you know, I was just fired up, especially those last two innings, you know, being able to go out, even with the high pitch count. You know, I felt really good. I felt strong, even towards the end.
What's that done for you? It seems like gloves are off right now. He sent you out two outings in a row, well over 100.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really good going out there. You know, I mean, if I was fatigued, and then it would be something different, but, you know, just the fact that, you know, they're kind of, I guess, loosening up the reins a little bit and letting me go out there and pitch, it's been good.
Yeah, it's been good. Maybe an understatement. It's been really good. He has been unbelievable. To put it in some context, the best Mariners April with four or more starts. Floyd Bannister has the best ERA, 1.21 in 1980. Number two is Taiwan Walker, a 1.44 ERA now. Second best, Randy Johnson, 1.53 in 92, and Eric Hansen, 1.53 in 93. And with the off day this week, Walker's next start should be the 1st of May. So his first month is done. And if it is, second best month in club history in terms of ERA for four or more starts. That is the kind of month he has had. There's some just eye-popping numbers. This one is, I think, my favorite. Walker now an 8.33 strikeout-to-walk ratio, 25 punch-outs, 3 walks. To put that in context, that's second best in the American League behind Chris Sale, who's at 8.67. We all know how good Chris Sale is. I mean, that tells you the combo of the strikeouts and walks, it's incredible. That's the level he's pitching at. Another good one, I think. Mariners pitchers who have games of 7-plus innings, 10-plus strikeouts, while allowing one earned run or less. There's only four pitchers at the age of 23 or younger that have had multiple games of 7-plus innings, 10-plus Ks, one earned run or less. Felix did it 4 times at age 23 or younger. Freddie Garcia did it 3 times. Mark Langston did it twice. And now Taiwan Walker has done it twice. I mean, that's who's who of Mariners starters. Felix, Freddie Garcia, Mark Langston, Taiwan Walker. I mean, that is great company to be keeping. I mean, it's 1.44 ERA. Right now, that's fourth in the American League. Really incredible stuff. I mean, really incredible. And it maps out. You start thinking about the future. And I'm not talking about the distant future. I'm talking about the future of this year. What this rotation can be with Felix and Iwakuma, and now Walker pitching like this. Good times. It is good times. Also, I do want to give a hat tip to Steve Cishek for save number 100 in his career. And I also want to mention, because I think it's awesome, he passes Firpo Marbury on the all-time saves list. Firpo Marbury, who saved 99 games from 1923 to 1936. So he passes Firpo Marbury. Steve Cishek, save number 100. Had to earn it. Another one-run game But he got it done, and the Mariners get the win. And a fun one, an impressive one, and now a chance to take another series as they'll take the Astros on in Game 2 tonight from Safeco Field. So Dallas Keuchel is going to get the ball for Houston, 2-2, 3.71 ERA. He has had some struggles this year. It hasn't been clear sailing so far. Keuchel this year, he started out, his first start against the Yankees only allowed 2 7 innings. And then 3 earned runs against Milwaukee in 5 2/3. Then was fantastic against the Tigers, went 8 scoreless. Last time out against the Rangers, 6 innings, 13 hits, and 6 earned runs. Also gave up a home run. He keeps the ball on the ground constantly, so doesn't give up a ton of home runs. But he has struggled on the road the last couple of years, so this is going to be an interesting start. But, you know, he won the Cy Young last year, so struggle may be an overstatement. But compared to some of his home numbers, you could say struggle. Last year had a 1.46 ERA at home. He was 15-0 at home in 129 and a third inning, struck out 139. But on the road, a different story, a 3.77 ERA, 102 innings pitched, and only fanned 77. Opponents batted 186 against him at home and 253 on the road. So the numbers very different, and we'll see if the Mariners can take advantage of that. Meanwhile, Nathan Carnes will go to the hill for the Mariners, and I'm interested in this matchup because it's something we've talked about with Carnes and his strikeout rate, and I think he has a chance to rack a few up against the free-swinging Astros tonight. The trick, though, is you can't leave it over the plate because the Astros will make you pay. They can hit the long ball, and they really can make you pay with a couple runners aboard, and they can put some crooked numbers up pretty quickly. Last time out, Carnes pitched into the sixth against Cleveland, gave up 5 hits and 4 earned runs. He's given up 1 home run in each of his starts. He's walked 4 in each of his last 2 starts. He has struck out 5 in his last start, 7 the one before that, and 6 the one before that. So Mariners, a chance to take the series, but they have to go through Dallas Keuchel to do it, and that's never an easy thing. Okay, right now, we're going to hand things over to Josh Kearns. This is fun. We heard from Chris Iannetta a moment ago. Now we get to hear about what he does off the field.
Wine has always been in the Iannetta blood, going all the way back to Italy. So it's little surprise Chris got his first taste for the nectar of the gods from his grandfather.
Back in Italy, just like everyone, I think everyone in the town made wine just for their own personal consumption. And then when he came over here, he kind of did the same thing. He'd go to the farmer's market and buy grapes that were imported from Napa.
But it wasn't until Chris made it to the majors that his own love of wine and connection to his past was awakened.
We start going out to big league, quote unquote, big league dinners and go to a steakhouse and have a glass of wine. So for me, I didn't really drink up until then, but it was a way for me to reconnect with him.
What started as a passing fancy for the Mariners' new catcher turned into a passion. When he was with the Angels back in 2012, a dinner with teammate Vernon Wells that included some high-end wine would spark a new direction for the pair, starting their own winery.
Just kind of materialized. My financial advisor had some friends in Napa and some contacts. We got hooked up with our winemaker, Grant Long Jr., who started his own virtual business and then grew it to now owning a vineyard and a winery. So he kind of set us along a track.
And the winery they called Jack was born.
We didn't want it to be baseball related. We wanted it to just be wine. We wanted to detach ourselves from the baseball scenario. Oh, we're kicking around, and I was like, well, what are our kids' names? And we took the kids' initials, and we kind of figured out what it spelled, and, you know, we're toying around for a little bit, and it spelled Jack, so we're like, that's cool. We get to model it after our kids, who we both love and adore, obviously, and we get to kind of immortalize them by putting on them their name on a bottle.
2 bottles, actually, a Cabernet Sauvignon and a Sauvignon Blanc. For now, though, they're not digging in the dirt or stomping grapes in bare feet or anything like that.
We don't have an actual vineyard yet. That might be something that's happening pretty soon. But, you know, we source our grapes from Diamond and Howell Mountain. Grant Long Jr. makes our wine for us. One spring training a few years ago, he came down with some barrel samples because our schedules are tough. And I got to sample the different barrels that he was potentially going to blend and use for our cab. We picked the wine the way we wanted it to taste.
It's serious stuff, especially the cab. Aged in French oak barrels for 22 months, Iannetta describes it as bold and rich with big fruit, boasting undertones of herbs, mocha, and, appropriate for a baseball player, hints of tobacco.
I'm biased and unbiased. From a biased standpoint, I love it. From an unbiased standpoint, it's a really good wine. We wouldn't put our name on anything that wasn't very good to begin with.
Don't just take his word for it. He says ask around the Mariners locker room.
We brought in a couple bottles, and I know Benoit is a big wine guy. He loved it. Everyone else who tried it said it was awesome. We've got rave reviews. You know, it's not just our biased opinion. You get some unbiased people out there, too, that really like it.
That includes Mariners great and hitting coach Edgar Martinez, who recently stocked his own cellar with a couple of cases of Jack.
He makes good wine. It's a very good wine. It's a young wine, but it's very good. You can still drink it now.
So you think he's got a future?
He does. He knows the wine industry. It looks like he knows it very well, and it's a good wine, so that's a good sign.
But don't expect Iannetta to trade his cleats for corks entirely anytime soon.
For right now, it's a hobby because we're not making a profit. It's not technically considered a business. It's a fun hobby. It's something that, you know, we'll try to keep growing slowly, and if it goes in the right direction, we'll do it for a very long time. We'd love to grow it into something spectacular.
A bottle of red, a bottle of white. It all depends upon your appetite.
For now, you can only buy Jack wine in limited quantities by allocation on their website or in higher-end restaurants. And if his career with the M's gets better with age, just like his wines, Iannetta just might have to change his allegiances and start incorporating Washington-grown grapes into his future bottlings.
There's a few wineries out here that I grew up liking, so I definitely know the area is a big wine nation. Hopefully they're not insulted that I'm in Napa, but I would really love for everyone to try it. I think they'd really enjoy it.
Chris does have one regret. That Grandpa Iannetta didn't get a chance to try it himself. For the Mariners Sunday Magazine, I'm Josh Kearns reporting.
And now we've talked a lot about Steve Cishek and his 100 saves, so let's hear from him. Here's Shannon Dreyer.
Kind of an interesting start to the season. I'm going to think that in your job, nothing's ever guaranteed. You don't know when you're going to pitch. But getting into a season, what's kind of the challenge of just kind of getting into a routine and getting into a rhythm?
I think just being on a new team, you have to find out, every team does, batting practice times different, or some teams have their bullpen guys go out early, or whereas everyone goes out at the same time. So I think right now it's just trying to find a routine that works for all of us. And I think, something we've been working on. And, we've gotten to a point where, I like to be, time-oriented, where we have a set time for everything. We're starting to learn what's starting to work for us, and we're meshing pretty well.
A lot of schedules on the wall in there. It used to be there'd be three things on the board, and right. Now they're like 12 things. What are the things that you absolutely need to do for yourself every day on a daily basis, routine-wise?
Well, definitely throw and run, but I also need to give myself time to get loose to throw. I'm not a 25-year-old in the league anymore, so I just like to make sure I get everything loose, foam roll. I'm in the weight room before, I come out here usually, and get my work done in the training room, and I need to throw every day, just to work on my craft every day, and that's how we stay fresh. And like we were talking about earlier with the routines, our routines are what carry us through the season. So become monotonous sometimes, but it's essential.
I think you were out there with the football earlier today.
We like to have a little fun, when we do our conditioning. So instead of just running straight boring sprints, we run routes and stuff. Easy, no jumping allowed. Making sure we don't get hurt and we catch a Nerf football. But just, you're running just as hard, if not harder, after a football than when you're running by yourself. So it's good work.
Maybe with the golden retrievers and tennis balls next.
That's what I feel like anyways.
All right, so we haven't quite scouted the pen yet. If you had to pick two receivers for either side and you're the quarterback, who are your two receivers from this group?
From in the bullpen?
Yeah.
Definitely Montgomery. He reminds me of Gronkowski. Right. I call him Gronk. And, Peralta's starting to get pretty good. He's starting to get some hands, but, when we're back at home, Furbush probably notices is the guy that's been he hasn't really dropped many balls. We're only supposed to catch the ball with one hand. That's part of the rule. It's easy to catch two hands, but you have to be able to have a little flash. So.
Well, you realize he's had a lot of practice.
He's had a lot of practice. Yeah, he's been doing this for a while, so it was impressive.
All right, I know they don't allow you to throw out there. That's the job of the trainer. But, first thing, everybody sees you, and they see that delivery. Where did that start? When did you first kind of drop down like that?
You know, when I've always been like a low three quarter, maybe not quite sidearm like I am now. But when I was in high school, I always watched Derek Lowe and Pedro pitch. I just liked their mechanics. And, you know, I thought I was emulating them. But then when I saw myself on video for the first time in college, I realized I wasn't even close. So I just wanted Lowe's sinker. And I just try to mimic his mechanics. And somehow I came out to this.
Did anybody ever try and take you up top?
Yeah, so my second year in pro ball, they tried to get me up top a little bit more and create more angle, and it was a disaster. I got rocked, so they let me go back to where I was comfortable.
So what's the key to getting sync when you're coming sideways?
I just make sure I get on top of the ball as much as I can. You know, when I throw, I feel like I'm throwing overhand, so it feels like I'm getting on top, but, you know, obviously it's not the case when you see it on video.
If you're throwing to first base, are you throwing overhand, or are you throwing still? You're still
everything. Still sidearm. Literally it's my natural arm slot. I throw a football that way.
All right.
You know, wiffle ball, you name it, I'll throw everything sidearm.
Oh, whatever works, you stick with it. Right?
That's right.
Now, last year, Cishek's mechanics at the start of the year derailed his season. Plenty was learned in the struggle, however.
You know, I just tried too hard, I think. You know, when things went south, I was doing way too much to try to get myself back. And I came into camp with a lower arm slot, and I knew I needed to get my hand on top of the ball more. And it seems like an easy adjustment, but with my mechanics, I struggled for a little bit, so... I think I just pressed too much. You know, when I got sent down to AA, it was an eye-opener. You know, I was able to work on my stuff and get my mind right. And then I felt like the second half of the season it was much better. But at this point in the year, I feel better right now than I had all of last year. So,
are you a little bit more reliant on video because of the mechanics?
No, I'm about the same. You know, every time I pitch the next day, you know, win or lose, you know, good outing, bad outing, I just like to look to see where my hand's at, and I like to see where the pitches end up. Because in my mind, if I throw a pitch I think is good and it gets hit and I look on video the next day, maybe it wasn't the case. Maybe it was down the middle, so I'll just have to be better next time. But
and if it was good, what do you tell yourself?
Good job.
Move on. Okay.
Yeah, just move on.
It's gonna get hit sometimes.
Right. When things are going well, I don't mess with anything. But you know, when there's a few times during the year where you don't feel great, you're either your body's tired or you're off mechanically, and that's what where video comes in and is beneficial.
You spent a little bit of time in the Cardinals organization, and they're just legendary for what they do with pitching. What did you take from them, or was there anything you wanted to see on that end when you were there?
No, I mean, they have a great leader in Yadier Molina, you know, catching. And a lot of guys, when I first got over there, like, do I need to talk to him? Like, what about what I like to do? And like, dude, I wouldn't even bother. He probably already thought about how he's going to use you in the game. And probably just, he probably laid down in bed thinking about how he's going to pitch you and the rest of us. So don't even worry about it.
Wow.
I was like, all right. So it pretty much made it easy for me, just whatever he threw down. You know, typically we don't shake off. But, I just throwing to him was pretty unique.
What have you found in your new catchers here?
They're great. You know, they're very good with communication. You know, Ionetta wants to know how you like to work, and obviously he probably looks at video and stuff. But, the big thing in spring that we harped on since we're all new is communication. Tell them what you like to do, what pitches you like to throw, in which situation. And I feel like even Clevenger, those two catchers alone, we're already in sync, so it's been an easy transition.
Different personalities with the two, it seems?
Yes, definitely. They're both pretty quiet and laid back. Ionetta is like a silent assassin, I guess you can say. He's a quiet guy, but he's a little fiery inside. Wow. He's a competitor, you can tell. And Clev is the same way, When he likes to have a little fun, he's really easy going, but when it's game time, he takes it very seriously.
Yeah, you can tell that. Uh-huh. What do you do? Once you get into the bullpen, are you a guy that goes out at the start? How do you prepare once the game starts?
Yeah, I feel like if everyone else has to be out in the field, I should be out there with them. So very rarely will you see me, walk out there. Like yesterday, I forgot to do something in the training room, so I came out in the first. But, 99% of the time I'm walking out there with the bullpen guys and staying loose. And that's just the way I've always done it, so I just try not to change it.
When do you kind of lock in a game?
Typically about the sixth inning. I have a little Red Bull and, give myself a half inning longer to relax. And once, between the sixth and the seventh, that's when I start moving around and really get locked in, visualizing pitches and ready to go.
You have a Red Bull to relax.
Well, it's relaxing because it takes about 20 minutes to kick in. There we go.
And that's about the right time to be out there.
There we go.
How much do you, there are some guys that are out there that are emotion guys, that are adrenaline guys. Do you try and keep it even, or do you try and use that?
No, I want the adrenaline. That's why that's why I've enjoyed closing, is you get the ultimate adrenaline rush, and there's nothing like going out there when your heart's thumping, teaching yourself how to relax and use that for your benefit. And something I've learned early on closing, and something that obviously I still use today. You have to slow the game down.
Take me to the ball game. I want to see the ants. The Mariners are playing hardball.
again and again and again.